Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello and welcome to the Gills Fancast. Steve Evans' side picked up a useful point on the road last Saturday, coming from behind to take a share of the spoils at Fleetwood Town as Alex Kubiak cancelled out Paddy Madden's second half opener. Joining me is James Hawkins, and in this episode we'll look back on the Fleetwood result before reflecting on the season so far as we reach the 20 game mark in League One and finally looking ahead to Saturday's early kickoff at Priestfield against MK Dons. Yeah, James, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Good.
Done all my Christmas shopping. I've done it early.
I'm glad you have.
For once, eh? Have you not, then?
I'm not finished.
Oh, come on.
To be fair, I'm doing better than what I normally am at this point of year.
Why, how late do you leave it?
Normally later than this. So I have actually 17th of December and I'm pretty much done.
I would love to know, people that listen to this, how late did they leave their Christmas shopping?
If you're listening and this is you, do let me know. Are you doing your Christmas shopping at 12 o'clock Saturday in the Jill shop before the MK Dons game? What dads are going to be chasing around the Jill shop going, football, we'll have one of them.
Yeah,
we'll chat suit top, we'll have one of them.
Bully hat. Scarf.
There we go. Just rack up 100 quid in the Jill shop.
Oh, don't forget the calendar.
I've never had a Jill's calendar. I've
never had
Jill's
one.
Calendar. No.
Really?
No.
No, they're interesting because considering my birthday's March and it's always a player that I don't want in the month. So I think, oh no.
You get halfway through the year and half the players have gone.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. Well, it's usually the manager, but.
That's a fair point. But anyway.
Totally off. What?
Yeah, started completely off tangent after a minute. But yeah, onto football matters. So yeah, like I say, last Saturday, Gills went up to Fleetwood and come back with a 1-1 draw. Yeah, a good point, really.
Definitely. Certainly, it's a tough place to go under Fleetwood, certainly under Joey Barton. He has obviously his critics of what he's like off the pitch, but you know what you're going to get from these sides. They're going to be tough to beat. They're going to play good football, and they've got good players, haven't they? Obviously, Josh Morris there, is he?
Yeah, he played Madden, Chad
Evans.
Yeah,
Madden, that's what I mean.
Wes Burns.
Yeah, they've got good players. And yeah, I think that's certainly how we were playing up until the point of we scored. I echo Steve Evans' comments of probably that's the worst we've played in a while. And yeah, to still play badly and come out with something probably shows, it does show signs of a good team.
Yeah, I'll be kind and say we didn't play well. We was crap. We was crap in comparison to what we have been, but to look on the flip side of it, I don't think they were particularly good either. And it seemed like it was a game that was ruined as a spectacle by the weather, because I see it on iFollow and, like I said to you earlier, you could hardly hear commentary because it was just gusts of wind. So it was sort of one half, one team had the wind advantage and were trying to just play balls into the wind and turn the other team's back four around. And in the second half, the other team were trying to do it, and there wasn't a lot of football played, to be honest. And maybe that didn't suit us. You know, we didn't really play through midfield at all. But the good thing is that, like we have done in most games under Steve Evans, you know, we kept going to the end. And eventually we found that equaliser. And also, you look back to the week before against Sunderland as well, we've scored two big late goals that have earned us 4 points in the last couple of weeks. So that's a positive, obviously. Yeah, their goal is unfortunate. It can't really beat around the bush and describe it any other way. Jack Tucker's made a mistake. I think he's tried to sort of give the attacker a dummy in our penalty box, and you know we've seen him do it a lot, and he's pulled it off well. His composure is excellent for a player of his age and relative inexperience at this level. But on that occasion, whether it was conditions playing a factor, he lost his foot in a little bit, and Fleetwood nicked the ball off us, and then we was in a little bit of trouble. And I think they did have a little bit of luck, because a cross come in across goal, and I think it was a shot, but it was wildly skewed, and it just happened to fall to Paddy Madden. for a tap-in. And at that point, given the way we played, I didn't think the goal was going to come. But on their goal, you know, Tucker's made a mistake. But like what Steve Evans has said as well, is he's not going to... He knows, everyone that sees the goal knows he's made a mistake, but he's not going to hang him out to dry over it, because let's not get it wrong, Jack Tucker has probably exceeded all expectations this season, hasn't he, in the way in which he's slotted it into that defence and performed.
I would probably go as far as saying he's the best centre-half at this football club, and I would probably go as far as saying he's one of the best centre-halves in this division.
At the age of 20, I think
he is outstanding, and that boy will play at a very good level, a very good level. The way he reminds me of, yeah, I know you're not gonna like this, but he reminds me of a young John Egan. Just of the way he's very composed. He's composed on the ball.
Egan was very good on the ball, wasn't he?
He can play with both feet. Probably helps where he's played fullback, but yeah, he's comfortable getting forward. And yeah, most strikers have been in Jack Tucker's pocket for the majority of the games that he's played, and yeah, that boy is special.
And a 20-year-old is going to make mistakes, isn't he? And it's all an important part of his learning, isn't it? And if he doesn't make mistakes, then he's probably not going to develop an awful lot as a player, because it's those bad moments that end up making you as a footballer, aren't they, in your career?
Yeah, because even though he's made the mistake, should he stop trying that? No. Because that's part of his game.
And there's been so many times where he has done things like that, and he's played us out of a tight area or got us into midfield and played between the lines.
One ball, exactly. There's no point taking out of his game. Steve Evans is quite right that he said he was going to sit down with him on the Monday and go through and remind him how good he is, and then remind him on things where he should go wrong. And that's exactly the management. Jack is under the perfect management at the moment to learn and play his trade, and the Jill's management and players know that they have got a special kid around the place in Jack Tucker for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And like I say, that obviously leads to them getting the opener. us getting back into the game did look unlikely, because for the second half, for probably the first 25 minutes of the second half, I don't really recall us actually having an attack. But then obviously, as we go a goal down, Evans has to react, and he has to look to his bench. And obviously, he makes positive substitutions, and he brings on, he makes a double change, and he brings on Mark Marshall and Alex Kubiak. And I'll start with Mark Marshall first of all, because he has come in for a lot of stick this season. I don't think in the main he has performed in the way that I think a lot of us hoped and expected him to when he joined the football club. But I thought last week against Sunderland, he came on and had a positive impact. I thought he was even better at the weekend. You know, he's not set the goal up or anything, but he came on, he stayed wide on that right-hand side, he was getting on the ball lots, he was driving at people, he was getting balls into the box, and he was winning set pieces. And it just helped us build a little bit of pressure, which eventually did pay off as another sub. Alex Kubiak got us the equaliser. And it's quality that we've seen a couple of times this season. Kubiak has got on his locker, hasn't he?
It's a really, really good finish. And does anyone out of our strikers take that on? Probably not. I don't think Hanlon shoots from there.
If he does shoot from there,
he doesn't score.
I agree.
Mandron, he wouldn't shoot from there because it's on his wrong side. I think Steve Evans is probably hoping that, can he see more consistent things like that from Alex? And that's probably the reason why he hasn't been in a side, is because he hasn't been doing it consistently. But yeah, he's got good quality, and if he can score goals like that, then he's going to give the other two things to think about.
Yeah, because do you think there is a case for him starting to find his way into the team a little bit more? Because technically, he's our top goal scorer this season.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he's probably played a lot less minutes than Hanlon in particular. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Or do you play them both together?
I think there's a case, but the times I've seen Hanlon and Kubiak together, I've not been overly impressed, because they're both, I wouldn't say similar, but there's no real presence and size about them, where Mandron gives you something a little bit different up there. And I think that's ultimately why Mandron's in the team over Alex.
That could change, though, seeing
it could.
Evan's comments about Mandron.
Yeah, I know.
He wasn't too impressed,
wasn't happy, was he? Alex just needs to start doing it on a consistent basis.
Like he was at the start of the season.
Yeah, exactly. I think didn't he go for a run where he scored four goals in four games?
Yeah, at the start of the season, I think he was the first choice striker.
Yeah.
And obviously he's fallen down the pecking order.
Yeah, so if he can get back to doing that and finishes like that, showed that he's obviously got confidence about himself. So, yeah, if he can carry on and hopefully we can have a forward in January come in and give it even more composition up the further end of the field.
Yeah, so we get the equaliser and, yeah, from that point for the last sort of 10 minutes or so of the game, all of a sudden, from not looking like we was going to score at all, we looked like the only team that was going to win it, you know. And we didn't have a lot of choice in the matter because where we had to chase the game, we ended up with Pringle, Marshall, Hanlon, Mandron, Jakubiak, Lee, all on the pitch. So we didn't really have an option in terms of shutting that shop and taking the point.
No.
We could only try and play to the strengths of what we had on the field, and that was to go and try and win the game.
It's good to see, though.
It is. It is good to see. Because we could have equalised and he could have gone, right, Hodgson, I'll bring you on now and I'll take one of the forwards off. But he didn't. He thought, we'll take the momentum from this and we'll go and try and put him to the sword and get the winner. And we very nearly did. Ball bouncing around the box. I think it came across the face of the box and it looked like Ben Pringle was just going to prod it home from 6 yards, and then a Fleetwood defender just gets a vital toe on it to clear it away. And yeah, it would have been certainly a smash and grab 3 points if we'd have done it. But with the form we're in at the moment, it wouldn't have surprised me if we had nicked it. But if we look at it realistically, 4 points from six against Sunderland and Fleetwood away is
very
a return we can't complain at, is it?
Very, very good. Very, very good. Would you have asked, if you'd been offered that return at the start of the season, looking at our fixture list, I think anyone would have snuck their hand off at that. Very good return. I know people could say Sunderland are bang out of form and they're a poor side. Yes, in the current run of form, they are a poor side. But people have got to remember they've also got players that if you are going to make mistakes and you are going to give them chances, they will punish you. And yeah, we've gone, well, theoretically, looking at a Sunderland game, people at that game probably aren't going to argue that we should have beaten them 3 or 4, let alone 1. And they've got away lightly. Fleetwood, yeah, it's a fantastic point. It's a long way to travel. They're a good side, Fleetwood. They're going to be in and around the playoffs at the end of the season. Yeah, I think 4 points from the last two is a fantastic return. Really, really good.
Yeah, I want to just touch briefly on sort of our away record this season.
Yeah.
We've only won the one of the 10 away games, but we've only lost 3. We've drawn 6 of them. Do you think our away form is a little in any way an issue, or do you think because now we're so good at home,
not at all,
just drawing our away games is good?
That's the thing. I think the saying goes is that if you win your home games, don't lose your away games, and that's what we're doing, aren't we? We are just so good at home. It feels like the old days back at Priestfield now. I don't think it's too much of an issue, the fact that we're not winning every week away. It looks different because obviously the past couple of years under Loves, we were good away. So it looks like it is a poor away record, but it isn't, because
if you look at the away league table, we're 11th.
Yeah,
so we're
bad.
Actually not too bad in comparison to the rest of the division.
But the simple fact is that we are giving ourselves a chance because, we are one of the best in the division at home, and all the time you're winning your home games and you're not getting beat away, eventually those away draws will turn into wins, and you start winning your home games and your away games, you're only going to end up in one place in the end.
Yeah, because I look at our sort of our away record, and there's two games for me that stand out where we threw points away: Tranmere and Shrewsbury.
Yeah,
two games we should have won
big time.
But I look at that, and like you touched on a minute ago, with sort of in terms of looking before the season started at games, and if someone had said to me we'd only lose three of our first 10 away games, I'd have probably said that that's not too bad going.
No, yeah.
We should have won more than the one. We should have won one of the ones we lost at Wimbledon. You know, it's our only defeat for a while now, and I don't know how we lost it. But, yeah, all the time our home form is what it is. Picking up draws away from home are going to keep us ticking along nicely.
We're showing bounce back ability as well, aren't we? Like that Wimbledon game. We could have easily let what happened that day affect us and gone on a few games mentally where we think, oh, everything's against us and it's just not going to happen. And what was the result after the Wimbledon game? Was that
Doncaster, I think.
That's what I mean. We've got them, theoretically smashed them, haven't we? And not let anything affect us. So that's what I mean. We're showing different sides to us. You look at Doncaster where we've completely put them to the sword and could have had four or five that day. We've then dug in and got a point against a good Fleetwood side. We've then, theoretically, performance-wise, battered a Sunderland side. So we're showing different sides to us, and good sides and successful sides show different sides.
Yeah, so that Fleetwood result took us to 20 games played in League One. After 20 games, we sit 13th from the table with 25 points from the 20 games, having scored 23 goals and conceded 22. And obviously, we're also in round three of the FA Cup. So, yeah, as we head in towards this festive period, how would you assess our season so far?
Where I hoped and expected us to be. I think with the current management and the current squad that he's got, I don't think we're amazing. I think we're a good side. I think we're now hard to beat. I think people fear coming to Priestfield. We're playing good football. We're exciting to watch. We've got players that want to play for each other. We've got players that want to get on the ball and make things happen. It is just a case of if we can get a forward, we're going to end up in those playoffs come the end of the season.
And yeah, because Evans is obviously happy with where we are, because he said that if we're within 6 points of the top six at Christmas, he sees that as a job well done for the first half of the season. And would you go along with that? That's foundations for us to build on. Whereas in the last couple of years, we've been sitting there at Christmas looking over our shoulder.
This
season, it looks like, well, obviously we'll come on to it in a bit, but Saturday we could potentially be 3 points off the playoffs depending on the MK Dons result. And it's nice to be going into Christmas feeling positive and looking up.
You just got to give yourself a chance. Even if the start of the season wasn't great under Steve, and he knows that, and we were dropping points where we shouldn't be dropping. And everyone knows that we obviously lack a goal scorer, but what the main message is from this Jill side is that, and it's been a constant message throughout the season, is that we've constantly, bar that obviously Oxford away game, we've constantly kept ourselves in games and constantly given ourselves a chance, and we haven't just rolled over. And all the time you're doing that, you're going to give yourself the best possible chance of picking up points. And to be 6 points within the playoffs, going into this festive period where you probably look at the festive period now of MK Dons, Rochdale, Ipswich, I don't know what else we've got.
I think Portsmouth is the other one.
But yeah, all in the current run of form that all those teams are in, very, very winnable games. You never know if we play like we have been doing it at home, we can come out of that festive period potentially in the playoffs. So, I think we've done pretty well. Pretty bloody well.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with where we are, because obviously, the season did start slowly, but should we really be surprised by that? Because there was a lot of overhaul and a lot of change in the playing squad. And I think it would have been naive for any of us to think that, 15 players were going to come in the door and instantly start winning games. Right. But for me, the big positive is that it's not like We've won two games and lost two games and won a couple of games and lost a couple of games. We've not been patchy. I look from game one to game 20 and you can visually see we are moving forwards in an upward curve.
Yeah.
And that's all you really, Evan's first season, a lot of new players, all you want to see in that first half of the season is there signs there that we are getting better? And we are.
Yeah.
The first 10 games of the season, we took less points than what we did in the second 10. So we've made progress.
Yeah.
And if we can improve from the second 10 to the third 10 games, then we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I'm confident we will do that. so yeah, go on, out of 10, our season so far.
7.
You give it 7. That's quite a common theme because I did ask on social media for people's thoughts on it and Martin Norton said 7. Mark Purcell said 7.5. So he's quite happy. Stuart Chilmaid said just above a 6. He says that same number of points as this time last season, which isn't quite accurate because I think we've got 5 or 6 more. But he says we are showing improvement at home. So he's optimistic we'll be safe relatively early this year. He says extending the FA Cup run further would be nice. Adam Thompson goes along with 7. Liam Ward has said 6.77. That would be because someone asked if decimal places were allowed. And I said, yeah, whatever you want. So someone's gone 6.77. Gary Myersko says 6.5. And... might be, I know, there's still more. Barry Davis says 6 or 7, but then he says, but for having a season of hope and reason to believe we're on the up, 8. So that's an interesting point.
Fair enough.
Darren Chandler says 6 out of 10. Alan Josland says 6-ish, and Ian Goodwin doesn't give a rating, but he says he thinks we actually have a second half of the season to look forward to, which I think is accurate, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we're going into this January window quite intrigued, aren't we?
We
about
are,
what's
yeah.
going to happen.
For once, because we usually are very quiet in January.
Ah, I've got 2 more as well. we've got an 8 out of 10 and a 7 out of 10. And yeah, I think I'd go along. I'm probably, about 6.5, 7 out of 10. I think it's about fair. And yeah, it's probably a better rating than we would have given the last couple of seasons at this time of year.
About 3 past couple of years.
yeah, from where we are now. You probably hinted at it a minute ago, but where do you think we can go from here? Where do you think we need to improve position-wise to in order to do so?
We all know we need a striker. We all know we need a striker. We're not silly.
And do you think it's one player could be the difference between a top six challenge
it
or not?
It generally is. If we can get the right forward in that can go and score 10 goals... 10 to 15 goals between January and the end of the season, we will make the playoffs without a shadow of a doubt. There are teams in that playoff positions that you think you're not good enough to be in there. People also seem to forget we're the only side to beat Wigan this season. So we're a good enough side. We are a Cody McDonald-like player, goal scorer, from being a playoff team. And yeah, in answer to your question, Reese, we are one position away from being a top six football team. I think our back four, you go for our team, our goalkeeper, Jack Bonham, can probably walk into any League One side in this division, any League One side, and be their number one without a shadow of a doubt. The back four, Fuller, as good as he's ever been in a dual shirt. Jack Tucker, probably one of the best centre-halves in this league. Max Aymer has been playing his best football in a dual shirt for years. Connor Ogilvie, he looks a complete different player from what he was last year. Alfie Jones, probably one of the best centre midfielders in this division and will play Premier League football in 2 years' time. You then, unfortunately, Mark Byrne, until then, was outstanding. But replacing him is going to be Stuart O'Keefe. Again, on his day, one of the best centre midfielders in this division. You probably keep going through it.
That's without Willock.
Yeah. Will we ever see him? But you then look, who else started next to O'Keefe in the midfield?
We've been having O'Connor play there recently.
O'Connor, he, That's what I mean. He's as good as, yeah, as a midfielder or a fullback in this division. Then Ollie Lee, probably one of the best number 10s in this division on his day. Brandon Hanlon terrorises defences for God knows. You put a goal scorer next to him. Yeah, we'd be flying. Absolutely flying. And we are one position off the top six. And if we can get it, what my worry is that we go and buy a striker. And we're all hoping that he can go and deliver and he doesn't. It's just the Jules way, isn't it?
I do think that if either we don't sign a striker or we sign a striker that hasn't got the goals in him, I do think there's a ceiling of where we'll finish, and I think that is about 10th to 13th.
Really?
But I do agree with you that it's one player.
Yeah.
If we get the one right player in, I think we'll have a go at it.
Yeah.
Because our defensive record now suggests that we're going to always be in games.
Yeah.
We've conceded 3 goals in 8 games.
Yeah.
That will allow you to compete in any football match against any team.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you keep clean sheets more often than not, you only need one goal to win.
Mm.
And, yeah, it's a case of, is this striker going to come? Obviously, there's been talk the last few days, I think since the local paper came out, and obviously Evans said he went to watch Blackburn under 23s.
He came away a little bit, didn't he?
Dominic Samuel scored in that game. Yeah. And I
would you?
Yes. But before I saw that, I've been reading a couple of times recently that people have been saying there is interest there in Samuel, and I think it would make sense in the sense that he's not playing for them. There's a reason why he's playing in under-23s, because he can't get a game for them. I thought he did a decent enough job for us before when we had him on loan, and obviously that season under Edinburgh, it was just a bit unfortunate that I think he joined us as our form started tailing off, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But I still think he scored 7 or 8 goals for us in probably 20, 25 games, which isn't a bad return. The doubt over him is that I think he's had a long-term injury, isn't he, I think? Mm. And that's the question mark.
Yeah.
If we have a fit Dominic Samuel playing, I think he'd score us 10 goals in the second half of the season with the chances we create.
Yeah.
If he's not fit, we might end up back at square one.
Yeah, and that's the issue, isn't it?
But
is Steve going to look at this situation and go, yeah, you know what, we'll go for one forward and we'll bank on that forward and we'll go for it and that's it. And then we, if that one forward, i.e. Dom, doesn't deliver, then where are we going to go? Or is he going to go down the other route and is he going to go and sign a couple of forwards that he knows are going to grab him goals and go, right, there you go, we'll go for it now?
It's a tricky one.
I would personally go for the latter option.
Would you?
And go for a couple of forwards that will maybe grab you a few goals.
See, I'd go the other way.
I'm only saying that is because if he puts all these eggs in the Dominic Samuel basket and he then doesn't go and deliver and the window shuts, then
it's
what?
It is a tricky one. But I always say quality over quantity.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a good point.
And if it's a fit Dominic Samuel, I don't think we'd be able to do any better with the money we've got, to be honest.
No, but we're going to go and buy him, or?
I think he'd only be a loan.
Yeah, no.
But I think he is out of contract at the end of the season, so we might loan him, and then if he performs, we might well sign him in the summer, I don't know. Yeah. If it happens. But, yeah, my worry is that if he looks at it and says, yeah, I've got this budget, I'll split it in half and get 2 strikers, they'll be of lesser quality, that could end up being the same as what we've got. They might be like in the mould of Njoli and Jakubiak that might score you 1 in 4.
Do you think he's going to send Njoli back?
I think it's a possibility.
To maybe free up?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. Because he is well down the pecking order now, isn't he? Yeah. Obviously, we have got...
He's struggled, hasn't he?
He's had glimpses, hasn't he? He's had a couple of games where he scored goals.
I don't think he's ready for our level.
Possibly not yet. Possibly not. Because obviously he's been below Mandron and Hanlon recently, and now it looks like Jakubiak will be ahead of him.
He looks like the type of lad that needs to dip himself into the conference to go and get almost... go and get a physical battle and be battered around a little bit and then step back up.
Possibly.
Because he's got the ability.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if he went back. Obviously, we have got a situation with a couple of them. I think it's O'Connor and Lee, that their loans are up.
I know, yeah. January,
I'm
yes.
sure we'll
I
try
don't
and keep them both.
I think going to bother with
I think
Lee.
We'll keep Lee.
Yeah.
And I think we'll keep O'Connor, to be honest. I know there was rumours that Championship clubs are looking at them, but I don't think that will bother Southampton. I think they'll just look and say, he's playing every game. Stay yeah. where you are.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And I think O'Connor seems perfectly happy here.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially all the time Jones is here as well. Jones, I think yeah, he's no. quite happy.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any danger of us losing them too. But, no, my take on Samuel is that I would have him. And just hope that he's he's either fit, or if he is fit, that he doesn't sign. And then, like what happened to Adam Birchall, we signed him and then a week later he crocked himself and that was his Jules career over.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes in football it's about risk, isn't it?
It is risk.
And
when it's going for you, it goes for you, doesn't it?
Is Steve Evans the type of man that I think would like a gamble? I think he probably would.
Yeah.
I think he probably would. And
like you say, you've got it. You've nailed it on. He would rather go over quality over quantity.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
He said it since day dot, hasn't he? He would rather have a smaller squad with quality in it rather than quantity. So.
And he knows that it's a striker. We've heard him say it a few times. He knows what he needs. I think there's been a lot of talk about Agard and Jason Cummins in the summer. So he's wanted the right type of player.
Yeah.
Just obviously in the summer, we didn't have the resources there or whatever it was to bring him to the football club.
There's absolutely no excuse. No excuse in January not to get this forward. And I think if that window shuts on January 31st and we have not got a striker, all hell is going to break loose from fans and management.
Because surely if you're in the chairman's position, he's got to be looking at this now. So, say we do win Saturday's game.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in 11th from the table, 3 points off the playoffs. He's got to look at that and think, this is the best chance we're going to get.
Yeah.
We've got the right man here at the right time.
Yeah.
And he needs one player.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd have to back, especially as we have had. And it's not by luck. For me, Evans has earned the right to sign a striker.
Well, exactly.
We've not beat Hartlepool in a replay and gone and beat Slough 1-0 to get to the third round of the FA Cup. We've played Sunderland twice and a decent Doncaster team at home and comfortably come through both ties.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He deserves the chance to go and complete his squad now with the final piece of the jigsaw that he believes will get us challenging for the top six. Do I think it's going to happen? There must be a reason why Scally went with him the other day to look at these players. So they've got to have plans in place. And he didn't get the striker he wanted in the summer. But I think Scally's backed him with decent players in the summer.
Yeah,
I think the likes of O'Keefe and that wouldn't have come in previous seasons. I don't think we'd have brought that type of player into the football club.
Albert Jones wouldn't have come in.
No, obviously
Tom Bonham. O'Connor wouldn't have come in. Bonham wouldn't have even looked at us twice. Yeah, no, you are right.
So I think we have made a step in the right direction. It's just, can we now stretch that budget a little bit further for that final piece? And
there is always, in League One or League Two Championship, there is always one team that has a second half of the season and flies. Hits the playoffs in momentum and goes up. And Could it be us?
I look at Steve Evans' teams and I always think, one, they get better as the season goes on. And two, I think once Steve Evans' teams hit form, I think they're quite hard to stop.
They're like a steam train.
And his word, relentless. That's what I think they become once they get confident.
Didn't he say it at a press conference the other week? He went, my teams always get better in the second half of the season. We will get.
And we're seeing signs that will happen.
Yeah, yeah. We are in a process, I feel like, of we are going to hit one day in a game of football in League One and a team is going to come up against us and we are going to absolutely pace them. I feel like there is just, it's coming, where we are going to steamroll the team.
Yeah, there is a game that we will take all the chances that come our way and we will put four or five past someone, I think.
I'm certainly excited about the second half of the season, for sure.
Yeah, and it's good to be in that position because we've not had that for a couple of years, have we? No. But
not since the Justin days, really.
No, no. And obviously Saturday coming up gives us, on paper, a really good opportunity to kick on the good form, obviously, against MK Dons at Priestfield. Don't forget, 1 o'clock kickoff. The reason for it, absolute mystery, because it's the only game in our league that
is weird.
But yeah, it's been moved forward to 1 o'clock kickoff for some reason.
Stevie wanted to get the mince pies going early.
Well, maybe. I don't know if it's anything to do with, I don't know if Priestfield are hosting the Christmas party still, or whether they
potentially
need time to sort stuff out for that. I don't know, but
yeah, maybe.
Regardless, it doesn't really have any impact on me. Obviously.
I'm glad it doesn't.
We've won five in a row at Priestfield without conceding. Can we keep that going?
Yes. Yes, without a shadow of a doubt. We'll get 3 points.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll win. We'll win Saturday. Confident.
Yeah, on paper.
Come back to this when we get beat 1-0.
Well, this is the thing this season is that in the last couple of seasons especially, we've struggled against the teams down the bottom.
No, yeah, we have.
This season, we've been doing the jobs that we should be against these teams, haven't we?
Yeah.
MK Dons fit into that bracket. They're sitting in a relegation zone at the moment in 21st place.
We're not giving times to play. We're not giving teams time to play at Priestfield. And even settle,
that's a big
even
that
playing
is a big
the game.
Difference. Obviously, they've had a bit of trouble this season, MK Dons, because obviously Paul Tisdale took them up last season, didn't he?
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, because I do think Paul Tisdale's a decent manager, but they didn't get going in League One, and he was sacked, and he was replaced with Russell Martin.
Yeah.
And they've not really changed too much because they're still sitting in the bottom three. They're 8 points worse off than we are. But it depends what way you want to look at the form, because they are unbeaten in their last three games.
Yeah, they beat Oxford.
They beat Oxford at the weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
But they only have 4 points away from home this season, and they've lost five of their last six away games. On paper, it looks a home banker.
It does. But
could we be the coupon buster this weekend? We could
run on the early kickoffs.
We could, never bet on the early kickoff. All the signs pointing to this going wrong Saturday, isn't it? But yeah, we win the game and we probably will move into the top half. And depending on other results, we'll be 3-4 points off the playoffs going into Christmas Day, which perfect scenario, really, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I don't think there's any reason why we shouldn't be winning on Saturday afternoon and enjoy Christmas Day, just waiting for the second half of the season for Jules to be in the playoffs.
What would you do team-wise Saturday? Anything you'd change? I know, obviously, Evans has said Mandrum did have a shocker last week, but if he trains well, they have been playing well recently, the two of them. Would you change it off
it's a catch-22 situation, isn't it? Is that, do you bring Alex Jakubiak in because he's gone and scored? Or do you look at it over an overall consistent period, how we've been lately, and Mikel Mandron has been a big part of that, and do you kind of keep that consistency going? I would go with obviously the same back four as what it's been: Fuller, Ogilvy, Tucker, Reimer. I'll go Jones, O'Keefe, Lee, and O'Connor. Yeah, I'd like to see Alex Jakubiak doing it on a consistent basis, instead of coming straight back into the team. So I still go with Hannon and Mandron.
Now, for me,
I know you'd probably go Marshall, wouldn't you?
I don't know who it will be for, but I think Marshall will play. Because before Saturday's game, I think it was when the team got announced, as Jules do now, they tweet out the video with Evans explaining the team.
Yeah.
And he said if this game had been at home, Marshall would have started.
Really?
Yeah. And would
he fit into a...
It's weird because, we are playing the diamond, but he keeps coming on and he's still playing out wide. So it's as if we're keeping that diamond, but he's just drifting. It seems to be finding him a lot of the ball, and it seems to be finding us possession and getting us forward. So I can't say it hasn't worked. His last two performances off the bench, Marshall, probably have warranted him a chance. But the problem I see is I don't know who I take out.
No.
That's the problem. I wouldn't take O'Keefe out personally.
No.
I think if there's one... possibly O'Connor, but I think he gives us a good little bit of balance out there as a left footer. So it'll be interesting to see what Evans does. But I mean, regardless of whether he goes Marshall, whether he keeps the same team, we should have enough about us, shouldn't we, given our current form to win this one. What are you going for score wise?
3-0, Jules.
3-0. I'm going 2-0. Haaland's due a league goal, I think. He hasn't got many. He scored in the cups quite nicely, but I think he needs a league goal. And I think we drew a penalty.
Yeah.
Which would be okay, wouldn't it, now, I think.
Yeah.
So I'll go with them two.
I'm going with...
I'll go with Haaland to grab a couple on Saturday with Ollie Lee.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So two clean sheets, two wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope we can keep the form going and extend that 5-game winning run at Priestfield to 6 on Saturday. And yeah, leave us going into Christmas feeling not just festive, but also fantastic as we go into Ipswich on Boxing Day, which obviously will be a tough test. But yeah, if we can carry on the good form, we'll go into that full of confidence. And who knows where the second half of the season will take us. But as ever, thanks for listening. And lastly, up Jules.